Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everybody. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour of Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before we start today's episode, I just want to acknowledge that this show, this program, all of our programs here at CJSF are broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkumalum and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since a time before memory, time immemorial. And to start off today's episode, I'm going to be playing some music before we get into the talk portion of the hour. And this is going to be a track from a favorite here at the station, Sour Dope. Hopefully you'll be able to see more of them here at the station, wink wink, soon enough. But before then, here's a track from them by the name of Change It Up. Once again, you are tuned in to CJSF 90.1 FM. Sour Dope, Change It Up. Hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
Reporting from North Vancouver, this is Danny Nazvatarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. In July of this year, the Museum and Archives of North Vancouver, or MANOVA, unveiled its latest feature exhibit titled, Are We There Yet? The Sustainable Transportation Journey. Found in MANOVA's feature gallery space, the exhibit includes archival material and photographs related to the transportation history of the North Shore, its evolution, and where transportation in the region could be headed. A unique addition to the exhibit is its option for community feedback, which allows those that attend to write down and submit their suggestions for the future of transit on the North Shore. CJSF took a trip down to MANOVA to see the exhibit for ourselves, where we were greeted by the museum's director, Zoe Makoff de Miranda. We sat down for a conversation and learned more about why this exhibit came to fruition.
MANOVA, one of the things that we're really interested in doing with our feature gallery space is thinking about what topics are important to the community here today, what conversations are people having, or, you know, what do we want to create dialogue around? And transportation is definitely a hot topic of conversation. So we wanted to get involved in that conversation and create space for dialogue around the history of transportation and what the future here might look like.
When entering the gallery space, one of the first things we noticed was a series of political cartoons depicting congestion within the North Shore, as well as a newspaper that exclaimed the need for rapid transit in the area. This is an issue that is still being talked about today within the North Shore. When I first saw this cartoon, I thought it was from the 1990s. Thankfully, I was quickly corrected.
So a couple of things. First, I'm actually going to correct you because those drawings are not from the 90s. They're actually from the late 60s and early 70s. Okay. So they're even older than you thought. They are political cartoons from a newspaper that was called the North Shore Citizen, which was the precursor to the North Shore News. They're by an artist named David Alavoine, and we have a collection of his cartoons in our archives. And they are from the late 60s, early 70s, sort of talking about congestion, the problem with congestion on the North Shore. And I think one of the reasons you thought they were from the 90s is there's one drawing in particular. There's a gentleman sitting in traffic coming down the cut trying to get across the Second Arrows Bridge, the Ironworkers Memorial Bridge, and he's reading a newspaper that says rapid transit North Van to Vancouver by 1990 cost $300 million, and then at the bottom of the comic it says, you know, great news, you know, for $300 million, we only need to put up with this for 20 more years. So that was in 1970 saying, oh, we only have to wait till 1990 to get rapid transit. It's now 2025. And we do have BRT, the bus rapid transit that's coming. We actually have the C-Bus, which did not yet exist at the time that comic was written. But yeah, certainly, you know, it's interesting to look back and see that congestion actually is not a new problem. It's something that's been happening on the North Shore for a long time. And we really need to, as citizens and municipalities, think about what solutions are in the future.
Dave Miranda and I then discussed the public feedback aspect of this exhibit and some of the ideas the people have been writing for the future of transportation on the North Shore.
When we created that space, I kind of anticipated that we would potentially get a lot of negative feedback, sort of like almost like an in-person Facebook, if you will, an opportunity for people to complain. And I've actually been really pleasantly surprised. The majority of the comments that we've been getting are really constructive. I think people really have ideas. They live in the community. They know the area. They know the neighborhoods. And they have, you know, ideas about what they'd like to see. So it's been really constructive. I think there's the typical things like, you know, a third crossing, you know, extension of the SkyTrain. There have been some comments about, you know, maybe adding another C-Bus route. What if there was a C-Bus that went from West Van, you know, where the ferry building gallery is? There used to be sort of a ferry dock there, for the small ferries that went across the inlet. And so the idea of what if we had ferries that went from West Van over to near UBC, for example, there's people that talk about wanting to bring back the streetcars. So it's quite fascinating. I think people really want solutions.
We then discussed how Minova has engaged with local municipalities as well as the Tsleil-Waututh and Squamish Nations for this exhibit.
So we do work really closely with the municipalities. When we were developing the exhibition, I did reach out to the transportation departments and let them know this was a topic that we would be covering. We know that BRT, Bus Rapid Transit, is coming. That's something the municipalities have been very engaged on, and also the local nations as well. There's a group called North Shore Connects, which is the three North Shore municipalities, so North Van City, North Van District, West Vancouver, and the Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh Nations, kind of working together to talk about transportation infrastructure. So, you know, really in terms of the city and district in particular, really it's us providing feedback following the exhibition, and a lot of folks from the municipalities and the nations have been engaged in terms of coming in and sort of seeing what we're talking about through the exhibition.
Later on, we were given a tour of the exhibit and all of its archival materials, including an old bus fare collection box used in the 60s and 70s that makes a different noise depending on the value of coin that you insert.
I'm going to do a quarter first. Okay, that's a quarter. There's a dime. A nickel. And here comes the penny, which, you know, those are hard to find these days, so we didn't actually hear this sound right away at the beginning of the exhibition. We had to track down some pennies.
We were then shown some materials and transportation vehicles that signify the sustainable transportation possibilities on the North Shore.
Yeah, so one of the things when we're talking about sort of sustainable transportation and the future of transportation, there's a lot that's being done at a municipal level and actually through TransLink as well, looking at active transportation. So that's improved walking and biking routes and thinking about different ways for people to move around our city. So we have two bikes here that are from the 1930s and 40s, kind of just showing you know, what the bike technology was at the time. These are from our museum collection. And then next to that, we actually have an e-cargo bike. So this is an electric bike. It has a cargo carrier. This is obviously a pretty big departure from what was available in the 1930s and 1940s. And so this is just sort of to show the evolution in some of that technology of what's available, you know, that makes getting around on a bike a little bit easier for those who are able to ride a bike. And actually, the bike we have is from the e-cargo bike program that's put on through the District of North Vancouver and the City of North Vancouver, where through the Evo app, you can actually rent the e-cargo bikes, which is pretty amazing. So they're available to pick up at some of the local North Vancouver District public libraries. And so again, just looking at different infrastructure that's available to help people move around in a sustainable way.
Lastly, we asked Zoe Makoff de Miranda what she hopes some of the key takeaways are for those who attend this exhibit. Here's what she had to say.
You know, I think one of the takeaways that we'd like people to have is to think about what role they can play towards a more sustainable future of transportation on the North Shore. And I want to say that sustainable means both in terms of the environment, from an environmental perspective, but also sustainable in terms of our growing population. You know, the population is continuing to grow, and, you know, we do have there are a lot of people on the North Shore that do have a car. You know, that's not accessible for everyone, but for people who do have a vehicle, you know, I think it's not a question of saying, you know, get rid of your car and, you know, all cars are bad. It's really just to say, you know, maybe think about your routine and are there small incremental changes you can make that can help contribute to greater sustainability. So maybe is there one day a week that maybe you don't need your car? Is there a certain activity? Maybe can you take the C bus or ride a bike? And if we all sort of consider that and think about small incremental changes, that would overall help us get to a more sustainable place.
Once again, that was our conversation with Zoe Makoff de Miranda, the director of the Museum and Archives of North Vancouver. This exhibit, Are We There Yet? The Sustainable Transportation Journey, is available to be seen by the public until March 1st, 2026. All right, that was my piece that I did with the Museum and Archives of North Vancouver on their most recent feature exhibit, Are We There Yet? A transportation journey. And I thought that was a really fascinating exhibit, not just because it sort of honors and showcases the history of public transit on the North Shore, but also showcases some of the issues and narratives and talking points that have been and conversations that have been echoed throughout the past apparently 6 decades within the North Shore. And these same conversations keep happening regarding rapid transit and congestion and growth, and it is a bit eye-opening to see that a lot of those conversations have remained quite stagnant since that time. So yeah, you should go check it out if you are not just a fan of transit, but also just a fan of history. It's a really cool exhibit. So that is at the Museum and Archives of North Vancouver down in the Lower Lonsdale area. Okay, before we get into the next piece of the hour, we're going to be exploring some other things going on around the province here in BC. For then, here's some more local music, another favorite here at CJSF, someone who has just been topping the charts week after week after week. Here's Jan with Wasting Time.
I don't to our news update. Housing, health, and street disorder were top of mind at this year's Union and British Columbia Municipalities Convention, this year held in Victoria. CHY spoke with members of the Nanaimo City Council who attended to hear what their takeaways were from the week. Mayor of Nanaimo Leonard Krogh says one of his takeaways came from discussions around street disorder, mental health, addiction, and as you would put it, the brain injury crisis.
There's no question that the street disorder issue is a dominant issue in many, many, many municipalities. Hardly anyone is untouched, even some of the much smaller communities. A community like Terrace is probably suffering worse than us. Courtney is probably worse off than us, too.
He says the week was filled with members of municipalities and various cabinet ministers meeting to talk about what can be done to improve the situation. Mayor Krogh says while Nanaimo is meeting or exceeding its housing targets in the private sector, they are low in the area of subsidized supportive housing.
And those targets can only be met if the province provides the money through BC Housing and builds those kinds of housing units.
On Wednesday, Mayor Krogh was joined by other mayors and council members from across the province on the steps of the legislature to call on the province to deal with the rapid street disorder affecting many communities.
And I am hoping that that will continue to keep the pressure on the provincial government to move forward with the necessary resources, supports, and programs to try and solve the misery that is in the streets of every community of any size in British Columbia.
Krogh says there's a key agreement that all municipalities will have to work harder collectively with the provincial and federal governments. But there is still a lot to celebrate as communities like Nanaimo have seen an increase in tourism, helping to boost local economies.
There are some bright spots on the horizon economically, and we need to celebrate those as we face, I suspect, what will be a challenging winter.
One motion that was brought up over the convention called on the provincial government to recognize housing as a human right and focus on housing and homelessness strategies. The City of Nanaimo was one of the co-sponsors of the resolution after council voted unanimously back in June of this year to support it. Councillor Hillary Smear brought the resolution to council. She says she felt bringing it to the UBCM was important.
Housing affordability and homelessness is something that is impacting pretty much every single community across BC. It's part of the reason why it's really important to come to a convention like this, to really understand that it is not just Nanaimo and that there are solutions to this when we make systemic changes at the provincial and federal level. So advocating for that resolution on housing as a human right is really important so that we can get the province to say it out loud and then make the changes that we need.
Resolution NR17, calling on the provincial government to recognize housing as a human right, passed unanimously. During the convention, Eastmere also seconded a motion to amend the agenda to get an emergency resolution added regarding action on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
What we were looking for was for the province to tell the federal government that we need a two-way arms embargo so that Canada stops shipping parts that are being used to carry out what the UN has declared is a genocide happening in Gaza. We also called for products, Israeli products, to be removed from BC shelves. There is a precedent for this already, the same thing that the province did with Russian wine. And then we also called for provincial support for Gazan resettlement here in BC.
While majority of the delegates voted in favor of amending the agenda to get the resolution to the floor for debate, they did not reach the 3/5 or 60% threshold needed for it to pass.
And so the standing vote really showed that we are in the majority. The majority of people are not okay with a genocide being carried out, and they recognize that all elected representatives need to be using their voice to call for action at every level of government.
Another hot button item at the UBCM convention was healthcare. Councillor Janice Perino says as the chairperson for the Hospital District Board, a lot of her week was spent in meetings with ministers discussing the Nanaimo Regional General Hospital. They are hoping the government will soon do their part on the planned catheterization lab.
We're ready to do our share. We're wanting them to move forward to the business and concept plan, which is, it's not putting the shovel in the ground, but it's the first stage that has to happen because that stage will tell us what the hospital really needs.
She says from the discussions, she is hopeful for good news on a long-awaited cath lab, knowing how important it would be not just for Nanaimo, but the rest of the central North Vancouver Island.
Pushing them to, you know, say yes to this next stage, get us going, because we're technically the tertiary hospital, and really all we have is one service of tertiary level, which is the nephrology, which is the kidney dialysis and all of that work. And so it's not enough. We need to be serving the entire central and north communities.
Regular council meetings are set to return on Monday, October 6th at 7 p.m. For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Thank you so much to CHLY and Laura McKenzie for that piece about a Nanaimo perspective on the UBCM that happened earlier, you know, where all of the sort of councils around the province come together and discuss issues that are affecting their separate municipalities. So now we are about halfway through this hour of Speak Up. Once again, this is Danny Nesvetterani, your host for the hour, and I'm going to be playing a series of pieces that were produced all across Canada, all of which can be found on Frequency News, and this has to do with National Truth and Reconciliation Day and the different cities that acknowledged it, that celebrated it, that took the time of that day to have memorials, to have people turn out and discuss the issues regarding that. So I am going to be starting off with a piece from Montreal. This one is from Jules Bugel from Montreal's community radio station, CKUT. And here is that piece for all of you right now. Hope you enjoy.
On Tuesday, Montreal held the 5th annual Every Child Matters March. Held on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, also known as Orange Shirt Day, the march called on participants to reflect on the harms caused by Indian residential schools and fight for